Something said about manna, it really does my heart good to remember what I read about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, that in 40 years, all through the wilderness wanderings, through all the rebellion and all the murmuring and all the other things that went on, God never failed one day to send a manna.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
I tell you, God's blessings are not dependent upon our obedience.
Amen.
He's promised and He supplies our needs. And that's an encouragement to us to be obedient, isn't it?
That's right.
He doesn't hold something over our head, you know, and threaten us to wipe us out and all of that. But His love is continuous day after day. I tell you, the manna is ever for us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Number 56.
Amen.
Verse 83.
83
in the
sun.
Gotta look around.
We're gonna make a rule for all the little short ones down to the chair.
Yeah. about 450?
No, general.
450 what?
450.
450.
Amen. Amen. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
We will rejoice.
Amen.
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 It is wonderful.
Amen.
You know that melody?
Yeah, I know it.
There will never be a stranger story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory. Done to save a sinful soul like mine. It is the love of Jesus, something more. Around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping, love, it was a bounty. That is why my heart is truly saved. It is the love of Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, it is the love of Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Father, we do pray that during this meeting, during this time, Lord,
We ask, first of all, that thou be glorified.
Amen.
And we ask your leading, but everything that be done.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that thy saints would be edified and strengthened, that, Lord, we can go forth and hold the word of life out to a lost and dying world. Lord, build us up during this time, and Lord, send us forth into the harvest. May we be harvester in the Lord's harvest.
Amen.
And may we look to thee, the Lord of the harvest, as we do this day, and give you thanks for harvesting us, for saving us.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. We got a good letter. I got a good phone call.
Amen.
I spoke to Eddie and Donna, the babies, and Mike Pemberton, which is young preachers over there helping. He's going to be here in about 6 months.
Amen.
To be with us. He wants us to train to be a preacher.
Amen.
So we're praying for them. They're helping them. The work's got a lot of problems over there, but they asked to be remembered. Remember, this is where Eddie got himself right.
Amen.
About a year ago, he made some decisions and got some victory. He's had that victory for a year, and we thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the victory. And they just said, tell everybody. So, of course, with Billy and Cindy and Terry and everybody, Al, all of you, hello. And praise the Lord. They're praying for you, and they were enjoying the blessings. And I'd like to say one thing. I'm highly allergic. I don't want to offend anybody, but you offended me. Oh, somebody's got some perfume on or something that is wild. And I'm going to be driven out of my gourd out of this room. Don't wear it again. Find out what it is. I don't know what it is. But boy, if you want to drive me out, you keep wearing that perfume and hairspray. It is wiping me out. I apologize. I used to have to tell my wife when I was dating her, I said, look, leave your perfume off. You know, I like you just the way you smell. I don't, the perfume and the hairspray, certain kinds of it, I've had people give me aftershave. I couldn't even use it because it just drives me wild. And it's got my sinuses going something terrible. That's why I'm moving here. Somebody over there. I'm not sure who. I know it's not you normally. I mean, but I don't want to offend anybody, but please check it out, because if you wipe me out, I don't know how you do anybody else or not. It may be aftershave, it could be hairspray, it could be perfume, but whatever it is, it's very strong. It's really gotten to me, and I am highly allergic, so I apologize for that. I just want to say praise the Lord for Mike and for the others that helped him and the work they're doing and getting these tables set up in there, tabletops. That's going to make it so much better for us to have tables to eat on. And just rejoice this day in the blessings of God. And you know, all this old rain and stuff out here, it hasn't bothered us.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we're having a great time here.
Amen.
It doesn't even make it a dull day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I guess most of you know who I am. My name is Don Galroth. This is my wife, Clara. I have four sons. Why'd you put them to stand?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I have one daughter.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you. For a long time, I was converted and got saved in France by a Pentecostal boy. And I stayed that way for 40 years. And I tried to raise my children the best I could in spiritual things.
Amen.
We got back to San Antonio. We joined a Baptist church. I had gone to TDY, and I come to find out that the security of the saints.
Praise the Lord.
Gospel, you know, that you can fall from grace. And so I looked for a doctrine. In fact, the one that convinced me that I could fall from grace and could not fall from grace was a converted Mennonite.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about. And so we moved to San Antonio, and I raised my family. I thought the best I could. Well, here about several years ago, I began to get wrapped up in the world. I got out of service, I bought a farm, and I started to slowly drift away from the spiritual things of my family. At first, the conviction was there at first, but as time grew on, the conviction finally wore off. Got to where, you know, miss Sunday school, or well, I've been dry. I can need to plow that field Sunday morning. Got to have to plow. You know, and I had all kinds of excuses not attending church. Well, the longer I stayed out, the more in the world I became. And the more in the world I became, the further down I began to shrink. Right now I'm in the fifth. I'm in the fifth. I can't go no further. When I woke up and I told my wife that I need to talk to Lindsay. I need to help. I'm going to change my life.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I went to Lindell's house this morning. And he prayed for me and told me that I could win the victory.
Amen.
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 All the victories won.
Amen. And I'm going to rededicate my life now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I can do it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Get myself back into the Word of God.
Amen.
I want my sons, my daughter, to share her daddy's testimony that he's going to be back in the church, to be back in God's
Word. Amen.
I need all your prayers.
Amen.
A long ways to go.
Hallelujah.
I'm on tranquilizers and psychiatrists. It just ain't doing the job. I know that. I know what the peace is. I need a lot of prayer.
Amen.
And help to get myself back to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Be at where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
I've got an Isaiah chapter 42. Something that really blessed me. I know it's probably not supposed to be applied this way, but I just think it really applies. Show us something of the character of God. Look at Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now verse 3 says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Now I think of a reed that's bruised and weak, and has no strength of its own, and just a little gust of wind just make it fall over and break. And I think of the flax, the smoldering flax, I don't really know what flax is, but I'm sure it's something that's not burning brightly and in a blaze. It's something just barely alive, just barely going. And he says, without a doubt, he says, he won't come and put out that smoldering flax. He won't come and do it. So many times I've been so depressed and so down and so rotten, haven't prayed. I've gone through the entire day, and I look back on the entire day, I haven't even talked to the Lord one time, haven't read the Bible, and I think I'm so rotten. And I think if I go to the Lord, all he's doing is he'll just bawl me out. But I realized what he said. He said he came and he was going to be so gentle, so tender, that he wouldn't even put out a smoking flax.
Amen.
And he would not even break a bruised reed. And I'm a bruised reed. I'm a smoking flax. We get to the point where we're just barely alive. If we're alive, we can't even tell. All you just see is a little puff of smoke coming out of a little, like a campfire. But he's not going to come and dump water on it. You go to the Lord and he won't put you out.
Amen.
You go to the Lord, he won't break the bruised reed. Just say, Lord, I'm a bruised reed. You said you wouldn't break it. Don't break me. Lord, I'm just a smoking flax. I'm barely alive. Lord, don't put me out. Bring me back. Fan me. Purge your floor, Lord. I want to come back strong. I want to come back burning. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And now it's worth doing.
What I wanted to say, we all know him and
Amen.
That's my heart every time I say
Amen.
Amen. I really blessed to hear your son.
Amen.
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 Got some parents standing up saying they wish they'd done things better. I had an experience happen to me just before we came down to Mexico. I'd like to share with you. My dad and mom were saved when I was a year old. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I praise the Lord for it. My dad took me to church three times a week. Sometimes the young people's meeting, they couldn't take me, bumped up the stairs, and my bicycle was dead. So I was brought up and got to God's people and under teaching. But something went on at the church, my dad was there. He picked up a 60-ton church and moved it down the street away and set down a new foundation, put wings on it. It never happened. My dad did it. So I found out something just after my 30th birthday that afternoon. We were going Sunday night to present the slide that we had on the mission and wherever we were going. But that morning, my dad was going to do a chalk artist. He's an artist, and he's going to do a chalk drawing of the fire and give a story and the kids were all in it. They were going to read verses and turn the wheel and all the stuff that he had. Well, Dad had the Sunday at the second service, and the first service was the pastor was preaching, and he was relating just a story about about how he first started to preach. And his first time he ever preached was service was in the church that my dad was in. And he eventually called, and just a young, scared preacher boy, and he got up and gave his best sermon on the power of prayer. And he got all done, and he didn't really know how to finish yet, but he kind of backed off, and this guy with a black suit and a big long beard got up and says, "Can I say a few things?" And of course, that was my dad. And this young preacher boy was scared to death. "If you want to, go ahead." And Dad related a story to him that I never knew about till I was down here. He says, "Our crops were burning up in the heat. Didn't have any rain. He got on his tractor and he went back the lane, got out, and knelt down in the dust. Just have to slip through the rental."
Amen.
But he said, "Lord, the crop's going to fail. And if they fail this year again, that's the end of it. We're going to have to just walk off and leave. When he turned to the rain, Lord." He got in the tractor, went back to the house. Stars were out. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. There wasn't rain predicted anywhere in sight. And he went to bed that night, got up the next morning, got his tractor, went back to lane, got off that tractor, and he knelt down and drenched in the mud.
Hey.
I'm not saying that my dad is a prayer warrior, that he's that's something great. In fact, I'm backhanding him. I never knew that my dad depended on God for that. He prayed. Table, he prayed in the meetings, but never once he expressed in any way that I could see that he depended on God. We use parents, grabbing to them through the
time of amen.
If they see us as all self sufficient and strong, men that can handle every situation, how are they going to see God in His power?
That's right.
How are they going to ever see God in His power? And Michael, when you go up to me and want something, I think back to that day when I was 30 years old, I first found out that my dad depended on God. And I wanted to know Him. And every instant, we got to check with God.
Amen.
Hey, you got to go to the Lord.
Amen.
You want that? Well, that's the truth of the Lord will provide you. I'm not the provider. God.
Amen.
How about number 89?
Great.
Chapter 3, verse 13, or let's start with 12. You know, we miss so much because we like the Spirit of Israel so many times. We see only the outward, and we don't see the inward working of God's Spirit and the purpose and the reason for things that happen. We're just like blind people that are feeling the outward things, and we don't see the thing themselves. We're not able to really comprehend. If we only had the mind of Christ. It says here, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil and taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. They're blinded because they don't recognize that Christ is the key to all the Old Testament. They still see the types and the shadows and the figures and so forth, but they can't see the reality because they can't see Christ. And in verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. But listen, isn't this good? Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the heart, it shall turn to the Lord. And that's talking about the heart. Nevertheless, when the heart of that Jewish person shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. All you have to do is turn to the Lord. Isn't that glorious? There's not anything that's difficult. It's just a matter of turning to the Lord.
Amen.
It says that, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Amen.
Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, the Lord has some really good things for us. If we can just get the veil taken off, we can just remove the veil. And it's not hard to remove the veil. It's not a mechanical thing at all. It's just a matter of turning our hearts to the Lord.
Amen.
It says, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And then we sing this. I'm not sure whether we sing it here or not. And it changes a little bit. Instead of saying nevertheless, we say, whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And then we sing verse 17, just like it is. Some of us know it, I know. Let's sing it. And if you don't know, we'll sing it twice. Sing it the first time, those that know it. And you can pick it up. It's not all that hard.
Spirit on me, I think we ought to just go to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for your mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I pray for Brother Don.
Amen.
I ask you, Lord, that you would give him complete and full deliverance.
Amen.
I pray, dear God, that you would take every part of his life out of the devil's hands.
Amen.
I pray, dear God, that the devil would no longer be able to take him captive at his will. I pray, dear Father, that he would have victory in his own personal life, that he would look to Jesus, be a testimony there. I pray for all of his children, that every one of them be brought into a right relationship with thee. And primarily, Lord, that you just have your way in that life. I pray for Mike, Father. Make him a good father and a good missionary.
Amen.
Then, dear God, I pray for myself. I pray, dear God, you'd revive my heart.
Amen.
You'd forgive me of my sinfulness, of my laziness, of my carelessness about spiritual things. I pray, dear God, that you would just cleanse our hearts and minds of all self-interest. And, Lord, we look to Jesus and lift him up. I pray, dear Father, even in these meetings, that you would do a work within our lives that would not just last a year, but last a lifetime. Lord, that we would go away from this place being blessed because the Spirit of God had moved upon our hearts. Take away the veils from our eyes. Take away the veils from our hearts. And Father, may there be the liberty of the Spirit of God and the freedom that's there. Oh Lord, may praise come forth from our lips and thanksgiving. And Father, may you just have your way in the rest of this meeting today. Lord, I don't know every heart that's here and every life. And you do though. I pray, dear God, that you would guide every song that's requested, every testimony that's given, every word of God that's put out, every prayer that's prayed, and that, Lord, that we would be drawn to the center, which is Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, that he might be magnified, and glorified, and praised, and lifted up, exalted within our midst.
Amen.
I pray, dear God, you would bring forth something pleasing unto thee out of this meeting.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we confess to the songwriter that we're prone to want. Lord, receive it. We're prone to leave the God we love. But Lord, we come, Lord, in this time of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Lord, to renew our vows, to renew, Lord, our dedication. Lord, to say again to you, Lord, that we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you like Peter. Lord, sometimes our lives don't match our hearts. But Lord, we have to confess this morning that we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you for who you are. We love you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Lord, we thank you this morning for being so patient with us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray your blessings upon God. Oh, Lord, not upon him only, but upon his whole house.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I pray that you pour out blessings upon him, Lord, that there not be room enough to receive.
Amen.
Lord, oh, Lord, upon this church. Oh, Father, may you pour out your blessings upon us. Lord, not because we're worthy, but because we come in that worthy name. Because we come in that name of that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, we dedicate this time to you, Lord.
Pray. Thou art worthy, O
Lord. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you to forgive me for all my sins. Lord, I've got you, Lord, I want to come back.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you
bless me, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, just forgive me for my sins, Lord. I know that I'm a sinner, Lord, and I know that you're worthy of me. Oh, Lord, I pray that you help me love you more than anybody.
Amen.
And put you first, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. Lord, I pray that you just lead me down, Lord. Help me to be a pure spiritual man, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Help me to read my Bible, Lord. Study it. And be a prayer, Lord. And be a witness. And soul, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I pray that you just bless this man that got up and spoke, Lord, that he dedicated his life. I pray that you help him about, Lord.
Amen.
And you bless him, encourage him, strengthen him, Lord. For his whole family, Lord, that not one of them will be put on the shelf, Lord. And all the servants in you, Lord. Lord, I pray that not one person in here that will be put on the shelf, Lord. I pray for those that can't come, Lord, or can't come for different reasons, and bring them back, Lord. Lord, I just pray for each spirit person here that you would bless us and serve us and bless the meeting, Lord, and advise us.
Amen.
Lord, if it be your will that you just use me to start the Bible, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would make us, Lord, as the burners lead, or you wouldn't put out the fire as a smoking flax, Lord.
Amen.
You heal us, Lord. Amen. We pray that you can set us on fire for you. You be fine, Lord.
Yes.
We fall in love with you. We dedicate our lives to you. In this time, Lord. It wouldn't just be for now, Lord, but to be for that soul.
Amen.
Lord, I just ask you to do this right now.
Amen.
Pray for you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the gift of Lord, you're greater than our heart and our comfort.
Amen.
And we have no coming to you. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful to be with you now.
Amen.
And Lord, you encourage them. And as you set your eyes on you,
amen.
Try to work out everything through you, Lord, that they'll really make it to the time of their own. Lord, I ask that you will make it in all of us, God, that you will allow us to see that we're nothing. We don't depend on you. We don't depend on you, that our lives are saved. Oh, Lord, for the good in our hearts. Show us and open our eyes and see what we really can help us to see what we can really do.
For prayer, Lord. For respect. That's the way that you communicate with us, Lord, through strength. Lord, we thank you for the power that's behind prayer and the good plan. Lord, in the book of Joel, it says, what prophecy do we have with your prayer, Lord? There's a lot of prophecy in prayer.
Amen.
Lord, help us to answer that with positive thoughts, Lord, that there is prophecy in prayer.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for Dalros, Lord, and we pray that you be with him and his family, Lord. Be with him as he dedicates his life towards you, Lord. I'm going to keep his eyes on him.
Amen.
Just to be the light that he's going forth, Lord. I'm going to help him keep his eyes on that goal, Lord. Lord, give us your life.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for all the many wonderful blessings that you've given us.
Amen.
The large and the small and the ones we don't even know about.
Yes.
Amen.
I thank you for the rededication of my father's life.
Amen.
I praise you for that, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for our answered prayer.
Amen.
I ask that you would give him strength and that it would be through you, through Christ, and that not on his own.
Amen.
And I ask that you would make us children obedient and examples and children that would help build him up and help give him strength.
Mm-hmm.
Help that you would be with my mom, that she also be submissive and,
yes,
and a good wife and an example and help,
amen,
help him on his way.
Yes.
Again, I thank you for these things, Lord. Praise your name.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
And worthy of your praise.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, we're thankful that the mercy of the Lord endures forever.
Amen.
Lord, we're thankful that there's no condemnation in Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we're thankful that you promised,
amen,
never to leave us or forsake. Lord, we thank you that you promised to continue your work in us.
Yes.
Lord, we glorify your name.
Amen.
And Lord, we just ask you bless Don and Mrs. Delros and their family.
Yes.
We ask that Jesus Christ be Lord of that home.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that they be renewed to you. And Lord, we're thankful,
amen,
that 1 John 1:9 is still in the book.
Amen.
Lord, we're thankful the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you there's victory. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we just ask that you give him the victory.
Amen.
Lord, give it to him in a practical way, the way of his life, Lord, that he'd walk in the victory.
Amen.
Lord, we ask you to bind the devil, and not the devil hinder,
amen,
him anyway.
Amen.
And not the devil take the promises away from him. But Lord God, help him to put his confidence in you.
Lord,
Lord God, we ask the same for each and every one of us, that we,
amen,
would be revived and drawn,
amen,
closer to you. And Lord, that we'd walk in your will every day, every moment of our lives.
Amen.
Lord, that we'd walk by faith and continue to walk in your promises,
amen,
and glorify your name. Lord, again, we're thankful for your mercy.
Amen.
We're thankful that you cleanse from all our sins.
Praise.
We give you glory, we give you honor,
amen,
and praise and glory forever and ever.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, we just lift up the Christians in Germany right now.
Amen.
Today, Lord, for Donna and for all the ones starting the church here, Lord, we'd ask, Lord, that you would have your spirit, Lord, in the church, Lord, and that you would have your way, Lord, and the work that's being done there. Lord, that Satan would hinder it, Lord, that they would prosper, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, that you would encourage the ones there, Lord, that you would use them as vessels, Lord, for your gospel. We just lift them up to you now in prayer, Lord.
Oh,
ask you, Lord, to do a work.
Lord.
When I pray for Rick, I
thank you, Lord, for your work in his life.
Amen.
Lord, for your faithfulness, your healing. We pray for him that thou would get him about him, and your strength in him, and may his only desire be thee. Lord, I pray this.
Dear Lord Jesus, with our tongue we gladly confess thy name. Through the glory of the Father, God above, for to us to speak thy praise is the enjoyment of our days. For if Jesus is your call, the one we are.
Genesis chapter 3.
The next of the visions in Genesis chapter 3, I think, go very much along with the flow of the meeting today. And I think you'll find it very much appropriate to the movement of the Lord this morning in our midst. And it starts in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3, the third of the visions. And it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, the first of the visions we see in verses 1 through 5, which was the temptation of the serpent. Second, we've seen of the divisions in verse 6 and 7, where we've seen the fall of the woman and the man. And now in verses 8 through 13, we find the appearance of the Lord God.
Amen.
Comes on the scene. And you know, notice what we have here in verse 8, as he appears on the scene. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. I thought that was an interesting expression. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. How many voices have you seen walking? There's only one voice that can walk, brethren. That's the voice of the Lord God.
Amen.
And you know, that voice isn't going to let you go. It's coming after you. It's coming after you. And you know, the voice of the Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know, we talked about the consequence and result of sin beginning in verse 7. And the one was, they lost their innocence. They realized they were naked. And then they had the sense of shame because they seen them naked. And that's what sin means, the sense of shame. But now we also see in verse 8 another result of sin. And that is separation from God. Separation from God. They lost their communion with God. No longer God comes down in the garden and they have a sweet fellowship. Now when God comes in the garden and they hear the voice, they hide themselves. They run from God. And what does this tell us of man? It tells us that man does not seek God. Man does not naturally seek God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that man, it says of man there, that he's seeking not after God. No man seeks after God. No. You know, sometimes we hear people say, you know, I began to seek after the Lord. If you sought after the Lord, there's only reason, one reason why. And that's because of verse 9, because he comes seeking after
you. Amen. Amen.
Because he came seeking after you. So the second truth here, I think we'll see, is that although man does not naturally seek after God, we find that God does seek after man.
Amen.
It says that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You ask yourself, why am I in this meeting this day? Because the Lord Jesus came to seek.
Amen.
And to save.
Amen.
You might ask, well, why have these things come in my life, these depressions and these hurts and so forth? Because God was seeking after you. And you know, they gave the expression, I think it was the old, I'm not really sure if it was the old Puritan, but I heard the expression of God, they used to call him the hound from heaven. The hound from heaven. if you're one of his, you're not going to be left alone. The hound from heaven's coming. And you know, when the Lord God appears, he has four questions we find here for man. And the first is found in verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
Amen.
Now, we know that God is all knows all things and God sees all things. He knew that God, that Adam was behind that tree. Why did he say, where art thou? He said, well, how do you know? Well, look it over in chapter, don't look there, but like I said, because of time, but in Genesis chapter 4, we find Cain kills Abel, right? And God comes to him and says, what hast thou done to thy brother? Where's your brother? And he said, well, my brother's keeper. And the Lord said to him, let not the blood of your brother cry out to the ground.
Amen.
He knew what Abel was. But he was saying that to make Cain realize that he did know. You know why God said, where art thou? Because he wanted Adam to realize that there was trouble. There was trouble on the scene, and he wanted Adam to know that things weren't the same. He wanted Adam to know that he knew where he was. You know, that's a good question to ask yourself this day.
Amen.
Where art thou? But you know, there's an interesting thing about this question. This is the first question God asked in the Old Testament. Where art thou? I want to just take you very quickly. Keep your finger there. I want you to look at a parallel verse in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. And this is the first question that man asks in the New Testament. I want you to look at it. The first question that the Lord asks in the Old Testament to man is, where art thou? Now the first question that man asks in the New Testament is found in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. Saying, where is he? Where is he? That is, born King of the Jews. You know, man's got a problem now. Where art thou? He's separated from God. And now he's dead in trespasses and sins. And the day he ate that fruit, he died spiritually. He was separated from God. That's what death is, separation from God. Where art thou? Man's got a problem. God's got an answer to that problem.
Amen.
And man says, where is he? Where is he? There's the answer. There's the answer to the problem. Jesus.
Amen.
The King of the Jews, it's Jesus. The provision for our sins, it's Jesus. It's by his blood. There's cleansing. And by his blood, separation is no longer.
Amen.
And communion is brought, and fellowship and communion is brought back to God. Well, where are you? Ask yourself that question today. Where are you? But you know, in verse 10, we have four eyes. Very interesting. If we just take a look at it, there's four eyes there in verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and because I was naked, and I hid myself. The four eyes there. I heard thy voice, I was afraid, I was naked, I hid myself. You know, the very voice of God that gave the command, that was a terrorizing voice to him because he broke that command. And when he heard that voice, it was no longer sweetness to his ears. You know, I'm sure Adam, you know, if I could maybe just drift along here a little bit, and I'm sure when Adam heard the voice of the Lord, when things were right, oh, that must have been the sweetest voice on earth.
That's right.
That must have been the greatest voice to hear. Oh, the Lord's come.
Amen.
The Lord's come, the fellowship, and he must have ran out. Lord! Lord! And all has changed here because of sin. He says, I was afraid. You know, when the first sin comes, then comes the first fear in the Bible.
Amen.
When the first sin came, then came the first fear. And sin, that's what it does. Many times. It produces, I was afraid. I was afraid. Listen, if anybody's here or not without Christ, you better be afraid.
Yeah.
The wrath of God abides in your head. The wrath of God. I tell you what, there's justifying in being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why should it be? Because I was naked. Because I was naked. You know, those little aprons, they can cover them up. And Brother Billy brought up to me last night. Well, I was that was pretty cool, Brother Crosby brought up. But at any rate, I mean, why? Because I was naked. I was naked. And what happens when one realizes their condition and the holiness of God? Why should there be fear? I tell you why there should be fear. Because God's holiness. Because of God's holiness, two reasons. And because of man's sinfulness. He said, I was naked. What did he do? He hid himself. He didn't come out in the fellowship of God this time. He went and hid himself. And you know that's what sin will produce. You know, the devil always, you know what the devil does? He gives you sugar coated pills. He makes them taste good. But listen, when they go down your belly again. And the devil always makes sin look good. And make it look like a candy stick. And I tell you why. You ask my wife about that sugar, it's no good for you. You ask my wife about a couple of those things. Matter of fact, when we get over here later, it talks about they're going to eat the earth. But here, listen, my friend. Listen, why did they hide themselves? Why did they hide themselves? Because when God steps in the scene, the light has appeared, and when the light appears, you see yourself for what you really are. And that's the testimony all through Scripture.
Amen.
The testimony all through Scripture. When Isaiah seen the cherubims were abounding, the seraphim, they said, holy, holy, holy. He said, then said I, I'm a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. When John seen the glorified Lord Jesus, he fell at his feet as dead. When Job came in, when Job had that confrontation with God, he said, I heard about him with the hearing of my ear, but always he says, now I've seen him with the seeing of my eye, and he said, I am for myself. And it doesn't have to say. You know, in John chapter 3, verse 20, it says that men love darkness rather than light. Why? He says, because when they come in that light, their deeds are manifest. See, their deeds are manifest, and men don't like to see themselves for what they are. That's why men don't like the Bible, you know that? Because they don't like the truth about themselves. Well, we got to move on very quickly. And we come to verse 11. And he said, here's the second question. Who told me that thou wast naked? Here's the second question. Who told me that thou wast naked? Huh? Who told me that thou wast naked? The Lord's making them come to the point where they'll admit that, you know, they'll come to that point. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Those next thing. Hast thou eaten of the tree where I've commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? You know, one of the hardest things for a man to do? Come to myth. Come to myth. We're going to see that in verse 12 and 13. And you know, God knew he ate this. Why was God saying, hast thou eaten? Huh? God did it. And that's the goodness of God.
Amen.
Here we find the seeking God coming out to man and ministering to man and trying to bring man to that point where he'll admit and confess and then come to God. Come back to God. Through the only provision that God provides. We find that in verse 15, but we're not getting there. We'll go to verse 13. Well, notice, here we'll find the way of fallen man in verse 12 and 13. We'll find the way of fallen man here. And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did. That's the way of fallen man. Everyone and everything is blamed but self. Everything and everyone is blamed but self. And matter of fact, he puts the blame on God. He says here, what? He says, the woman whom thou gavest to me. The woman whom thou gavest. He tried to put the blame on God. That's self-justification. And you'll never find peace with God. Never.
Continue to come and humble yourself before God.
Amen. And you know, it says, you know, in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper.
That's right.
But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh him, will find mercy.
Amen.
He shall find mercy.
Amen.
And you know,
praise the Lord.
Here's a man who's trying to cover it up. And not only trying to cover up, put it back on God. But notice the God in verse 13. And the Lord said unto the woman, what hast thou done? What is this that thou hast done? That's the fourth question. It wasn't what God has done. It's what you've done. What hast thou done? Yeah, that's a good question to ask yourself. What hast thou done? Why don't you put yourself in the light of God's word, in the light of God's holiness? And let God ask you that question. What hast thou done? Well, you got a list of confessions. I don't know, you know, we got a list of confessions. We don't got paper. We know there's not enough paper to put it on in all the world. What hast thou done? Notice the woman. She follows right in suit, doesn't she? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And I beat him. The serpent did. Man says the woman did. The ball's passed to the woman. She says the serpent did. She goes over to serpent. You know, nobody wants to admit before God and say I've done it. You know, that's the way with fallen man. You know, God wants to bring us to that point. We have to come to that point. Well, we'll confess and agree with God and acknowledge I've done it. You know, that was David. When Nathan came to David after he sinned, you know what Nathan said to David? Thou art the man.
Amen.
You know what David said? I have sinned against the Lord. That's the place. That's
Amen.
The example to take.
Amen.
And you know, ending again with a little story, I think that kind of gets across the truth of this idea of self-justification. And we should humble ourselves and admit and agree with God. Yes, I have sinned against the Lord. There was a little boy, lad one time, a little Scottish boy, I believe, and he came back from a revival meeting. And he said, Mama, he said, Johnny so-and-so, he's under conviction. And he's seeking peace with God. He's seeking for peace. He says, but he's not going to find it. And his mother said, well, why is that? He says, because he's only bound, he only has one knee back. And he says, you're not going to get peace with God and be bound your two knees. And you know the truth of that is, the truth behind that is, you're not gonna find Christ as your Savior. You're not going to find hope in Him. You're not going to find salvation in Him until you bow your both knees and get humble before God and confess your own helplessness and that there's no hope within inside you, and you humble yourself before the living God and say, I have sinned against the Lord, and ask in Christ's name for God to have mercy. You know, this applies both to the lost and applies to the saved. Don't take the way of the fallen man. We've been taken out of that position.
Mm-hmm.
When we sin, let's say, I have sinned.
Amen.
Mr. Dowell says, I've done it. Brother, that's the first step back.
Amen.
You can't walk in the light if you have unconfessed sin. But if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all.
Amen.
Hosea 6:3.
Oh.
Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I read this for devotion this morning. We were sitting reading this. And the first sentence, there's three things in there that really applies to our lives. It says, this shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. There's three things there. There's purpose, pursuit, and promise. Purpose is to follow on. I mean, the purpose is to know. That's our purpose. We're to know the Lord. The pursuit is to follow on, and promise that we will know the Lord. The average Christian, Satan, if he gets saved, he fails in that area by not keeping you from getting saved. If he fails from keeping you from backsliding, he's going to try one more. He's going to try to keep you an average Christian. And that's where most Christians fail right there. They go so far and say, okay, I've done my part. That's enough. And we were reading kind of Van Sander's book, Consider Him. And He brings out the point there that you can't be average. You have to keep going. Amen. Follow on, know the Lord. And it struck me because it really hit me good because of the services all we've been, where Josh got up and then the testimony we got and we had from Mike and different other ones. You can't just go back to a certain point and say, okay, that's fine now. You've got to follow on. You've got to run the race. You've got to know the Lord. Satan attacks most of us, and he's you. And he's not going to use the world to attack you. He can use other average Christians to attack you. If he won't attack you, as far as if you say, okay, I'm going to teach a class, I'm going to go to Sunday school, and that's it. No. He won't attack you then if you're an average Christian. You try to get deeper in the Word, deeper to know the Lord. That's when he's going to attack you. You're not going to just use the world. He's not going to use your friends. He could use your own household. He could use your church. The average Christian, you say, hey, you don't do that. You're doing enough. Just stay back. And that's where most of us fail. You go to a point and say, okay, I've done my part. That's good enough. But there's a difference between average and normal. A normal Christian wants to follow the Lord. He wants to keep pressing on and on. My question is, how many of us are average? How many of us are satisfied with going so far? The object is to know the Lord.
Amen.
Not to be different.
Amen.
There's a lot of different people in this world. There's a lot of people that are different in this room here. But how many of us, whose object is to know the Lord, rather than to be different? Amen. Isaiah 15, verse 7. Flies real good. Amen. You can't do it on your own.
Amen.
But there's something behind it all.
Amen.
Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me.
Amen.
Therefore
Amen.
Shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a fool.
Amen.
And I know that I shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
That's the thing you need out there. I know I shall not be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of Christ. It's the power of salvation. He is the good news. The Bible is great. It's good. I mean, I love it. If you don't read it, man, you're missing something. But that's, unless you read it, and you know what's in it, if you don't know that Christ is in it, why did you not? You can't be different. You've got to know the Lord.
In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible actually says, in verse 22, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, a man is becoming one of us to know good and evil. You know, I was thinking about your saying, I read Hosea through about a week ago, and I thought it was interesting here that Satan wanted them to know good and evil and not to know the Lord. They were supposed to be knowing the Lord.
Amen.
He wanted them to vote off into knowing about good and evil.
Yep.
You know? And that's what happens in our lives, you know. We want to divert off, you know, Satan wants to divert us to know about good and evil. But if you take turn to Hosea, and when I read this book, I was saying, oh Lord, you know, I want to be like John, the disciple that laid upon your breast, you know. He always could hear, you know, what God had to say. And when I went through this book of Hosea, there was so much in here, you know. And at the time, I was feeling, you know, kind of cold and indifferent. And I've been reading my Bible and stuff, you know, coming to meetings, but, you know, something just wasn't right, you know. You get to those points, and I believe the Lord brings us to those points.
Amen.
And, you know, about what you were saying about sin in the same book. I'll get there later on, but in chapter 1 and verse 2, this is the first thing. This seems like a progression of backsliding. Okay, the Lord says, he's talking to Israel, and he tells Hosea to go and get a wife of whoredom. And it says, the last part of it says, the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And the Lord just struck me. The Lord struck me with the word departing. And I wrote in my Bible, how do we depart? It's by not seeking him to know him. And seeking to know self or something else or whatever, you know. And I kept thinking about the book of John, because John was a disciple that laid in front of the Lord's heart, you know, front of his breast always. And in 1 John, the last book, he says, my children, keep yourself from idols, you know. And when we start seeking out self or something else, you know, whatever, and we're not going on to know the Lord. And that's the thing, doesn't want us to know the Lord, because when we know the Lord, then our faith will increase, and, you know, then God's going to work, because he honors faith, and that's all he honors. And the book, there was so much in here, because it talked about adulteries and spirit of whoredoms, you know, and I was saying, Lord, you know, Lord, I commit spiritual adultery, or spiritual whoredoms, you know, and then I was wondering why, you know, was I having, the Lord, this book talks about miscarriages, and I was applying spiritually, you know, you go out, you talk to people, and they make a profession, that's a miscarriage, because they really never did get saved, you know, I'm saying, oh God, we do these things, you know, in the spiritual realm, you know, he's talking physical here, they were going out and was doing everything that heathen was doing, but the Lord helped, was applying to my heart that it's spiritual also, we, whatever we put up before God and we put before to know him, it's an idol. You know, I said, we're committing spiritual adultery. We always think of it in the realm of, you know, the physical, oh, you know, it's bad. But think of it in the realm of the spiritual. Oh, God, he says, you know, goes on. And this book, a lot of what was brought out to me was there's a lot of each chapter about shall know the Lord, know God. If you read the book, I admonish you to read the book through, especially if you feel in your heart that there's a coldness or a difference. But that was the first step. It seems to me the Lord showed me about backsliding. We depart first from the Lord. We don't read the word. We're not praying. Or we're not seeking out the Lord at all. And then it goes on in chapter, let's see. Well, I won't do a whole lot, but in chapter 6, same verse, verse 1, the Lord says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He will bind us up. And, you know, the Lord does that. The Lord tears. And look at verse 14 of chapter 5. The Lord says, I will take away. And the Lord, and then verse 15, the Lord says, I will go and return to my place, for they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And their affliction will seek me early. And our affliction there, praise God for affliction, because
amen.
We don't know our hearts. It's deceitful and wicked, and only God can show us what's in our hearts.
Amen.
Only he can show us. Only the Spirit of God can show us. Because our hearts deceive us.
Amen.
And in the book goes on, and it's just so rich, there's so much in here. Amen. And in chapter... chapter 13. And look at verse 12. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. And I love my Bible. This is why God has to tear and lend up to reveal sin so we can confess it. And then the Lord promises, look at verse 4 of chapter 14. He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my neighbor is turned away from him. You know, the Lord allows these things to happen, you know, in our lives so that he can, he's the one who shows us our sin and he tears. You know, does all these different things, but he's the one who heals our back.
Amen.
And I wanted to encourage you, Dara, with Isaiah 57. Isaiah 15. The thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit.
Amen.
To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And I love my Bible. And the rest of Proverbs it says, before honor is humility.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Lord, I wrote, for out of humility comes a humble spirit. You know, the Lord has to allow these things to happen in our lives to humble us, to break us.
Praise
the Lord. And there's a cross reference, well, we all know Psalm 51, but there's a verse in Psalm 34. You know, Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and Satan is such that are of a contrite spirit.
Amen.
Turn the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I have three portions of the book of Acts I'd like to read. Acts 4:31 is, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together.
Amen.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. But great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the pieces of the things that were sold, prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Joseph, who
by the apostles, the surname Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, they get healed. Peter and John have gone into the temple, and through the power of God, a man above 40 years old who's been a beggar all of his life and known by everybody there to be a beggar with misformed legs, lame in his feet, well, they healed him, and of course, that gave them a tremendous opportunity to preach the gospel and say it wasn't in our power, but in the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the priests and all those that were leading the temple worship, they were doing their best to shut up this name of Jesus. You know, they paid the soldiers to say they'd stolen his body away. They'd done all sorts of things to shut up the name of Jesus. Here, this beggar been laying in front of that temple, maybe 35 years anyway, maybe this is a little kid. He'd been sitting right there in the gate of that temple all this time. These apostles, these ignorant, unlearned men, these people walking around without their college and seminary degrees, they walk in and all of a sudden, these ignorant men, heal this man, as far as the world is looking at it. And the priests are trying to shut this up. And so they called them in together and told them, look, we don't want to hear any more about this. And they said, well, I want you to know, there's a name, only one name. Look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved.
Amen.
They said, I don't care what you want to say. We've got a name we've got to preach. And there's a name we're going to live for. Say what you will. Do what you will. There's a name. We're going to lift that name up. And it said in verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I mean, you know, they weren't cowering before these great doctors of the law. I mean, they weren't humbled by their degrees or their language studies or whatever. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, that didn't mean that they were ignorant and have a high IQ. It meant that they didn't have an education. They didn't have training. They didn't have a degree. They didn't have an acceptance before the people. They were unlearned and ignorant men. But they marveled. Their boldness, and they marveled. They took knowledge of them. I want to take a look at these guys a little better. I mean, there's something about them that makes them stand out. There's something about them that makes them different. Because that they've been with Jesus.
Amen.
Now, you know, these men stood up. Well, they went on back out, they began to pray. And they were having a prayer meeting, and that's what happens up in about verse 30. At 31, it says, when they had prayed,
the place
was shaken where they were assembled together. You know the problem with most of our meetings, they don't ever get shook up.
That's right.
Amen? We need to get shook up sometimes. Amen. Sometimes in our own personal life, we need to get shook up. We need to get broken down. We need to come to the place where God shakes something up because we're too satisfied. We're sitting too comfortable in sin. We're sitting too comfortable in selfishness. We're sitting too comfortable in the world. And we need a good shaking. We need the Spirit of God to come down and give us a real good shaking. And maybe if we got bold in our witness and got bold in our prayers, God would shake this place too. Amen. Well, anyway, he shook that place.
Amen.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. When God got a hold of them, not only were they bold over there, you know, that little word boldness stands out in the book of Acts. How bold are you? You say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm living right for God. How bold are you? These men were bold. And you know, some people say, well, the gift of tongues, that's a sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Baloney. You haven't read your book.
Amen. Amen.
Boldness is a sign of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
They witness with boldness. They witness with power. That's a sign of the Spirit of God. It is not tongues,
Amen.
Only three times mentioned. But it's boldness.
Amen.
And so the multitude of them were one heart and one soul. They just loved everybody. They just fell in love with each other. And then it says in verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness.
Amen.
There's no doubt that what the modern church today needs, even modern fundamentalists, even modern so-called living churches today need, is the power of God to come over their witness.
Amen.
It says, and with great power the apostles gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray a little more so we'll have a little more power.
Amen.
And maybe we did some great praying and some deep soul-searching praying, maybe we'd see great power coming on our witness. I'm not saying everything had happened like it did back there. We're in a little bit different time. We're right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know one thing. God's still in the business of putting out great power upon His people if His people get right with Him. The only problem is our cold hearts, is our stubborn wills, our self-interest in doing what we want and all the things we want, rather than seeking, as these men do, did to magnify the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what it said? Great power was on the witness, and it says, great grace was upon the man.
Amen.
I tell you, we need great power.
We need great grace.
I'm so thankful for the grace of God. It's a beautiful thing to me as I look at all that we've done or tried to do over all the years. I'm just thankful for grace.
Amen.
I'm thankful I don't stand on my own merits. I'm thankful I don't stand on my own efforts. I'm thankful I don't stand on my own righteousness. I stand on the grace of God. And you know, if there's anything we need great prayer, and we need great power, and we need great grace to be on our life. Amen.
Amen.
We really do. Turn, if you will, to Acts. To the 14th chapter and the 3rd verse. Mm-hmm. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Maybe you'll catch me by verse 3. And it came to pass at Iconium, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake. But a great multitude, both the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the law. Now, you may have the idea that with God's great, your great praying, and God's great power, and God's great grace come upon you, that things are going to run smooth. Not necessarily so, my friend.
That's right.
In fact, that may be the time when everything goes out. The refrigerator goes out and all your meat spoils. The car goes out and you lose your job, and everybody calls in their debts at that time, and a few other things happen, and trouble happens in the family. You got no guarantees everything's going to go smooth.
That's right.
In fact, Paul says in one place, he said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We got to get it out of our head, this soft idea, this modern Pentecostal idea, this modern electric church idea. Yeah. Just come to Jesus, everything's going to be all right.
That's right.
Pay me $100, you get $1,000 back. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you just live for God, everything will go smooth. That's a bunch of baloney. It doesn't fit Scripture.
That's right. Right.
Here are these men that love God and live for God. The closer they got to God, the bigger the fight all around.
Right.
I mean, the closer they got into the battle and the more they went out to do the work of God, the more the dust was just stirred up all around them, and the more big, violent, terrible enemies that they encountered.
Amen.
Some of them died because of it. Some of them were stoned because of it. Some of them were whipped and let go because of it. But whatever, when the minute they begin to attack the territory belonging to the devil himself, I want you to know the devil rose up and fought them. All his teeth aren't full yet.
That's right.
Don't you think the devil's teeth are full? He'll knock you out of the saddle so fast and make your head swim if you don't stay close to God.
Amen.
You're in a battle. You're a soldier. You're in a war. You're in a battle. They went in there. But look at verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking. How? Timidly, right? Very respectfully, right?
No.
No. Boldness. We need some boldness today. We need some old-fashioned, blunt boldness. Hang your tact. We got too many tactful preachers today. We got too many tactful soul winners today. We need a little bit of boldness.
Amen.
Some people would call it rude.
Amen.
I got a call here a while back. Somebody called me up. I think it was Brent and Dan. Visited some man that visited the church. They do most of the primary evangelism on anybody they get a card by. They get out there and they hit them, you know. I get this phone from this guy. He is absolutely incensed. He is literally upset. And he called me and said, you know, two young men came from your church to my house. He said they were absolutely rude to me. You know? We talked for a little while, and of course I tried to be sweet to him. And then, you know, I told him, I said, well, what did they tell you? And he told me what they tell him. I said, well, if I'd have been there, I'd have told you the same thing. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, I taught both those boys. Where do you think they got it? I said, I believe just exactly what they believe, and I believe you're just as wrong can be. Well, he hung up. And he hasn't been back. But he got to hear it twice.
Amen.
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 He got to hear it twice. Listen to me. This world is looking to scare you because you don't have enough tact and you're not smooth enough and you're going to run people off. Well, that door swings both ways. If you don't like it, just like turning the knob on the radio, just walk out that door and don't come back. Ain't nobody around here going to cry. We're going to go ahead and praise God. Have a good time anyway.
Amen. Amen.
Somehow we need to get enough power, enough assurance, enough confidence that we get a little bit of boldness. And again, that word boldness comes in here. And it says, they speaking boldly with all this opposition. The people are evil affected toward them. Anybody lately evil affected toward you? I mean evil affected. I've had people evil affected toward me. I was preaching a revival meeting in First Baptist Church of Douglas, Texas. Tuesday, we were visiting. Walk into this living room of this fellow's house, and I said, "Friend, I want to ask you a simple question. Are you saved?" He said, "You're a dirty communist. Get out of my house." I said, "No, sir. No, sir. I am not a communist. I am a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I am not a communist. I heard what you've been preaching down at that church." I was evangelist. And he said, "I heard what you've been preaching down at that church. You are a dirty communist. Get out of my house." I said, "No, sir. No, sir. You don't understand. I'm trying to be tactful." He said, "Really, sir? Well, I just want to ask you about your spiritual soul salvation. Where are you going to spend eternity?" I said, "You're a communist. Get out of my house." He pulled out a drawer and took a chrome 38 and stuck it in my face. "And I'm going to blow your guts to hell." I said, "Number one, if you pull the trigger, it's not at my guts, it's my head. And number two, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven." And I didn't even have a bit of fear, honestly. Now that night, I trembled all over. I laid in my bed and quaked that night when I thought about how close I was to eternity, never visiting my wife again, or my children, or saying hi to you, or preaching the gospel and ministry cut off. I trembled that night, but that day I didn't fear a thing. I said, "You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved." And the preacher and the song leader were marching me out the door, you know, and trying to keep him with his gun back over there. Somebody's liable to get evilly affected towards you if you preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So preach it anyway. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Notice what it says. "Speaking boldly in the Lord," which, the antecedent of which is Lord, "the Lord gave testimony unto the word of his grace." You know what we need? We've been publishing the Bible. Get your good old black back, red back, King James Version of the Bible and just give the Word God. But you know, we need God to give testimony to the Word of His grace.
Amen.
It's not enough just to put the Bible in our hands. A lot of people got the Bible in their hands. We need the testimony of the Lord to go along with His Word. Now, the Holy Spirit always goes and uses this Word. It's the tool. It's the sword. It's not your sword. A lot of people say, "Get your sword and go." Forget, man. It's the sword of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit sword. He's the only one that can wield it right. He's the only one that can cut the joints and marrow and make the difference that our normal people can't make. He can make the difference. It's the sword of the Holy Spirit of God. But what we need is for the Holy Spirit to use His own sword to give testimony to the Word of His grace.
Amen.
And you know it's the Word of His grace. Great grace was upon them all. And this is the word of His grace. Amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful I heard the word of His grace.
Amen.
You know what I want to preach?
The word of His grace.
Amen. You know what I want to believe?
Grace.
The word of His grace. You know what I want God to give testimony to? The word of His grace. And notice what He did there. He granted them signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Hey, they had signs and wonders in the city was divided.
That's right.
You expect them not to be divided with you going around with your petty little signs and wonders? Of course they're going to be divided. These people had signs and wonders. They were raising the dead. I mean, it was Shadow Peter walking by, healed people. I mean, they carried handkerchiefs. They went and rubbed a handkerchief across old Saul, Peter, Paul, and take out somebody and get healed, man. Signs and wonders. Well, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some signs and wonders this day. I'm not worried about any healings. I want to see some spiritual healings.
Amen.
I want to see some spiritual soldiers with victory. I want to see some marriages put back together.
Amen.
I want to see some lives give a testimony. I want to see some preachers preaching boldly. I want to see some churches raised up with some power in the last few days giving testimony to the word of His grace. I want to see the Lord saying, "This I approve of. This I bless. These I save. These I change."
Amen.
The Lord gave testimony under the word of His grace. Look, if you will, at chapter 20. He brought out the Ephesian elders there, but I'm going to start in verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which you have purchased with His own blood." Of course, if you happen to have a Jehovah's Witness Bible, they changed that verse. But at any rate, the Word of God says that God purchased the church with His own blood. Jesus Christ is God, fully God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Notice, if you want to know what a pastor is, well, take heed thereof unto yourselves and to all the flock. He's a shepherd, because he has a flock. He's an overseer. The Holy Ghost made him an overseer. He feeds the church of God. He pastors them, and which he purchased with his own blood. So he's a pastor, an elder, an overseer. He called the elders, and he told them they were overseers. So you got all four of them right there, that one verse, pastor, elder, overseer, bishop, you name it. He's there. What is a preacher? He's there. But he purchased with his own blood. Then he said, verse 31, therefore watch. Or my son will come and draw his disciples after. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Don't worry about those tears. You just keep warning people with tears. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace.
Amen.
You know, we gather in these open meetings, and sometimes we get to telling stories. We get to do a lot of things. But, you know, your stories don't bless much, but the word does.
That's right.
Let's keep them on the word. Let's keep feeding one another with the word of God. Let's keep encouraging one another with the word of God. Let's keep rebuking one another with the word of God. Let's keep lifting up the word of God. Why? Because when the Apostle Paul had to leave this church, he'd been 3 years there. Fine church. Got several elders in there. They were powerful men of God. He told them what a fight that they were going to go through in a very short time. He said, I'm going to leave you with something. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Let me tell you, that's all you need. We don't need any seminars. You don't need to speak Greek and Hebrew.
Right.
Or Chaldee or Spanish. You know what you need? You just simply need to believe what you see.